This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch our show on Free Speech TV weekdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is available on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, after years of pressure from environmental and health groups, has finally issued a ban on the active ingredient in antibacterial soaps. Triclosan has been found in many studies to be no more effective at stopping the spread of infection than plain soap. Worse, it's known to be an endocrine disruptor, impacting people's hormonal systems and also linked to cancer and other diseases. Groups like the Environmental Working Group are hailing the FDA decision as, quote, a huge victory on behalf of human health and the environment. My guest is Sonia Lunder. She is a senior analyst at Environmental Working Group. Welcome to the program, Sonia.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get to the actual ruling itself, let's talk about why this is such a problematic ingredient. Antibacterial soaps are marketed as a way to stop the spread of infection, although, of course, many common infections are viral and wouldn't even respond to an antibacterial soap. But what exactly does triclosan do? You know, most of these soaps advertise that they kill, you know, huge numbers of bacteria, which one might imagine could be a good thing.
Yeah, triclosan and triclocarban are two ingredients that were banned by FDA on Friday, and there are a lot of concerns about their impact on human health and the environment. Triclosan is similar to thyroid hormones, and it is shown to modify thyroid hormone levels in the body. Now, the consequence of this is difficult to determine in a human population. Our thyroid hormones cue our brain development and cue our energy and metabolism. As adults, small changes in thyroid hormones concentration during pregnancy can actually lower a child's IQ and have permanent effects on their learning and memory. But our body's thyroid system is very complicated, and it's pretty difficult to pinpoint the effect of one single chemical on this. More we raise concerns about the potential for harm there.
Right. And we, in fact, you mentioned children. We often encourage children to wash their hands thoroughly, and schools are often outfitted with antibacterial soaps because, of course, parents and teachers are often worried about the spread of colds and other common infections between children. Are children being exposed to this dangerous ingredient pretty widely?
Yes. Monitoring studies of the American population find this chemical in most adults. EWG, my organization, did a monitoring study and measured concentrations of triclosan in all 20 of the teen girls that we studied in 2007. Triclosan has even been measured in mother's milk, a sign that children are being exposed when they're being breastfed from their early days. Now, this chemical is unnecessary, and that was a key aspect to EPA's determination that it should no longer be used in soaps.
And I suppose that this obsession that we have, particularly in the Western world, with sterilizing our every surface contributes to that. And companies have realized that they can actually use the idea of a product being antibacterial to market it. And somehow, these sorts of chemicals like triclosan work their way not just into soaps, but into cosmetics and face washes and toothpaste. Why toothpaste?
Yeah, well, you raise several important points here. One is that there is no proof that adding antibacterial ingredients to hand soap provides any benefit in a consumer setting. FDA is taking another year to study the clinical implications of whether or not they should be used in healthcare. The second question is why we put so many germ killers into body care products. There's very big concerns that we're actually contributing to bacterial resistance by adding these ingredients to things like hand soaps, cutting boards, shoe insoles, and toothpaste. Now, there's some clinical benefit that's been shown by the company Colgate, who makes Total toothpaste with triclosan, that it has some benefit to your mouth and to bacteria levels in the mouth. But again, this seems like an ingredient that's unnecessary in most uses and raises huge questions about human safety and bacterial resistance.
Right. I mean, to put this in your mouth, which is a very sensitive environment, the skin in your mouth is very thin. And a huge part of our bodies work in tandem with bacteria. I mean, we have a bios, you know, we have a large part of our working systems in our body are microbial. And now, as you point out, more and more people are realizing that the bacteria that, you know, there are more beneficial bacteria that help our bodies work than bacteria that are dangerous. So these, and a big part of why these chemicals get into our products is because in the US here, companies are allowed to add in ingredients before they have to prove that they're bad for us, right? The precautionary principle doesn't apply in the US as other countries demand it, that you have to only, you know, first prove that they are harmful before they're removed from products, right?
Yeah, there's a subtlety here, which is that antibacterial hand soaps are actually regulated as over-the-counter drugs. And as such, there is more requirement of verifying that they're effective and that they're safe. And that's the law that governed FDA's action on Friday, even though we dispute the very slow pace at which this happened. It was more than a decade between when it was FDA was first petitioned by advocacy groups to ban triclosan and when it took action. Now, triclosan is used in acne washes, it's used in body washes, and some of those are regulated as cosmetics. And in that case, industry has virtual, can use almost any ingredient it wants with no verification that that ingredient is safe and even less so that it would be effective.
So Sonia, what led up to the FDA decision for a federal government agency to essentially ban a product is a very, extreme action. It's the most extreme action that the FDA can take. And I suppose the EWG would have loved to have seen this coming years ago. So it's certainly a positive thing. What led up to the FDA making this ruling?
So there was a legal petition in 2005 by a huge number of advocacy groups. And then there was a lawsuit against the FDA for not taking action on the petition in 2010. More recently, in 2013, FDA announced that it would probably ban these ingredients. But it wasn't until this last Friday, right before a three-day weekend, that the agency announced that it would. And in addition to triclosan and triclocarban, most of the other ingredients that it was considering as safe and over-the-counter antibacterial hand soaps are banned. And there are three more that the agency is taking a year to kind of review and study further. Now, if those three are banned, then the whole product category will be disappeared in the American marketplace, which we would consider a benefit.
So right now, triclosan is the main active ingredient in a lot of soaps, triclosan and triclocarban. But what you're saying is that there are some alternative chemicals that companies could switch out, but it's possible that the FDA could basically say this whole idea of antibacterial soaps is not something we're going to allow anymore a year from now?
Yes, correct. And to be truthful, companies have been seeing the writing on the wall when it comes to this ingredient and have largely shifted to these other antibacterial ingredients. Now, we dispute the whole product category. If there's no benefit to putting microbicides in hand soaps that are used out in American homes, then we don't think there should be replacement chemicals approved or given the green light on the efficacy side. And on the safety side, there are questions about these remaining three ingredients that are being reviewed and whether or not they're also safe.
So Sonia, you mentioned that in the sort of public environment, this ingredient can no longer be in soaps. But you also mentioned that that doesn't yet apply to healthcare environments. So, for example, when you go to your doctor's office or hospital, you see doctors constantly washing their hands with a jar of or a bottle of antibacterial soap kept next to the sink. And we know that it's extremely important to keep hospitals free of bacteria because it's the chance of bacterial infections is so high that somebody, having a surgery could die of an unrelated bacterial infection. infection just because you're exposed to so many bacterial infections in a hospital environment. So it's a different kind of environment. What does EWG recommend the FDA do about the use of these soaps within healthcare environments?
Yeah, I think that, it's a very different environment, and the risks of bacterial infection are high. You have a population of people who are in many cases medically vulnerable. They're struggling with other infections. You have people coming in and being treated in close proximity. We want to see those ingredients and products really carefully scrutinized, and we want to see best practices. But we understand that that's a very different environment, and there actually needs to be a high level of sanitation and disease prevention. We've created superbugs by the way we feed antibiotics to animals, by the lots of other practices in the food supply, not to mention maybe over-sanitizing our own homes. And now the medical system really needs to be taking every precaution to make sure that it's preventing the spread of those diseases. So different than what you would use in a home or a daycare. Kids are poorly supervised. They may not use these triclosan products carefully. They may not wash them all the way off their hands. There's so many other issues at play. One thing also to add is that hand sanitizers that contain alcohol can be a very effective and less concerning way of cleaning your hands if you're out and there's no water around, if you're taking care of someone who's ill. And I think people are sometimes more worried about the alcohol-based hand sanitizers than they need to. Alcohol is a really great sterilizer. It doesn't leave a dangerous residue. And we would encourage people to have that on hand if they're worried about giving up their antibacterial soap. It's a much more proven technology and many fewer safety concerns.
And actually, that's a real good question and point that you brought up, because I have to admit, I'm guilty of feeling that way, very sort of skeptical of these hand sanitizers that seem so ubiquitous and they're very strong smelling. You put them on your hands and people don't wash off the hand sanitizer. You use the sanitizer and you can eat food after that. But you're saying that actually looking at the data, the hand sanitizers, they don't have ingredients like triclosan. It's mostly they're like something like 60% alcohol.
Yeah, they don't have triclosan. Some have other ingredients, which are quats, which are a little concerning to us. But the alcohol itself, in 60% or higher, is a good way to kill germs for people somewhere where you can't wash your hands, or in settings where you're taking care of someone who's sick or changing baby diapers, something like that. FDA is studying them and wanting to make sure they're all very effective, reach a high level of efficacy. But in general, that 60% or more alcohol doesn't leave a residue. It's not strange synthetic chemicals. It's a very basic chemical we understand and that evaporates off your hands. We want to see those formulations be as safe as effective as possible. But I would say it's a good thing to swap out if you are someone who uses antibacterial soap and you're afraid of giving up that technology. It's a much better option.
So don't those hand sanitizers also advertise things like kills 99%, 99.9% of all bacteria? I mean, see, that just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, well, this again would be, we'd encourage times when you feel like there's a disease concern, or you can't wash your hands. You're out and doing stuff. It doesn't take things off your hands, but it does kill the germs. And there are lots of times when you've touched something and you're not able.
When you're out camping, and yes,
yeah, we can imagine. I have two little kids, but it's different, and I know that people may be turning that direction. FDA is looking and doing a more careful study of whether they're safe and effective. We'd love to see those products be as good as possible, and I think that it's a reassuring thing to most consumers that they're not. Because they kill germs doesn't mean that they have to be, terrible for your health.
So, Sonia, going back to triclosan in our soaps, it's just amazing because when people do their own research, first of all, you buy the antibacterial soap, you think you're doing the right thing for your family. If you go online and do the research, one might find EWG's reports for, years now that have been putting out the alarm against these sorts of chemicals like triclosan. But in general, the public trusts that when there's a product on their shelves, especially one that is marketed with these very convincing ads, that they would be doing the right thing and keeping their family safe by using things like antibacterial soaps, is a real corrosion of the public trust. And I'm wondering whether you think the FDA is going to start holding chemical companies to higher standards for these chemicals instead of constantly coming to the issue issue so late. I know that one of your studies a few years ago showed that triclosan was a major toxin found in the San Francisco Bay, which is just really disturbing. I mean, you know, years of these products being used have ended up with them being in our water system and, of course, impacting our own health.
Exactly. I think you raise a really important point, which is that people really assume that there's much more careful oversight of consumer products than is happening in reality. And FDA, I think to its credit, is doing more to acknowledge the limitations in its power. It itself has said it doesn't have the authority to regulate cosmetics, to recall cosmetics. And one problem with the over-the-counter drug process that the former deputy director, Joshua Sharfstein, has raised is that its structure, the FDA rules that it's working with under Congress are very limited, and they lead to very slow decision making, really no ability to recall products, and an agency that's afraid of letting something bad on the market and oftentimes can't move quickly to respond to new science and to make products the best that they can be. We also see that there's resistance on the part of cosmetics manufacturers and people who are making things like triclosan soaps or dish soaps, antibacterial wipes that go onto your table, that to really respond to new science. And it isn't until these final rules take place, there's a one-year roll phase-in period, that you actually see changes being made. So I think we would like a more responsive government, and we think that congressional action is actually necessary to change some of these rules that FDA is operating under. And we would like manufacturers to be much more nimble and responding to scientific and health concerns that are posed by the ingredients in their products.
And of course, in the meantime, while we're waiting for these changes, the public would do well to research some of these things, because of course, today we live in an environment where most people do have some access to the internet, a lot of information out there on websites like your organization's. And of course, it's important to find trustworthy sources to get information from, not just any random source that can put out some conspiracy theory over the harmfulness of particular chemicals, but well-known, well-established organizations. Give out a website for environmental working groups so that our audience can look through some of the other reports that you've put out on other kinds of things that are found in everyday products that might not be good for us.
Thank you so much. Our website is www.ewg.org.
That's ewg.org. And we'll post a link to that from our website later today. Sonia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Sonia Lunder is a senior analyst at Environmental Working Group. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.